Yeah, good morning. Ruined it to back next week. But for now, you got the Rush Hour boys stepping in. Bernie Vince, Greg Blewett and Andrew Jarman.
Good morning, Adelaide. Welcome to the 12th of April, on our 14th of April, on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning. Oh, good afternoon. Good morning to you, Bernie. And good morning to you, Greg Blewett. You've finally got back from Tasmania.
Yeah, I have. I've been away on a golf trip and I've heard
beautiful
that
weather.
It was brutal. We'll talk about that later. The weekend, guys, right, was just unbelievable. You've seen the vision. But have you gone without me?
Very well, actually. Gone on another level.
Is it not like, you know, once something is missing, you don't really appreciate it? But, you know, now.
Didn't feel that, did you, Bert?
No, not at all. But the only thing is, Jazz has been pretty smooth, hasn't really stuffed up many things. And then as soon as your presence is sitting next to him, he was
nervous.
Good morning, good afternoon.
What else did you say? The date, you were 2 days out,
not one.
Well, that time's flying.
And you give us nothing 15, 20 minutes before we go on because you are writing down and concentrating so hard. And then you go and give us that.
Well, what are you saying?
Well, you were 2 days out, and you gave us a good afternoon.
I've had a lot on.
You're a busy man. Well, you're undefeated at the moment too.
But it's a lovely day today. And we'll talk about yesterday, the dust storm, right? Smashed through our beautiful city. So we've got lots to talk about. Lockie Scholl from the Adelaide Crows will have a chat to us.
He's a nice young man, isn't he, Jazz? Did you end up finding me and Bluey on the beach on your Instagram post last night, or?
Well, I didn't. I couldn't find you.
No.
And Bluey, I couldn't find because he was like that dirty old filthy seagull looking for a couple of chips on the ground. That was Bluey. So we lost him in the storm.
What do you mean by that?
He would have blown away.
Furious fires back after 8 o'clock, family. Right, one of the most popular. Honestly.
Funny, Jazz. I'm laughing at you.
All right. And I got no idea what else you're going to say, but that's how we roll. And Emma, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. You got to do a little sing-along for us because you've been doing a bit on your Instagram page.
Yes. Oh, my ukulele.
Because you love that new Pete Murray song.
I really love
it. You love that
song. Actually, last time I got my ukulele out was for you guys. I don't know if you remember. Last time you were covering Brekkie. So maybe we'll see what we can do.
All right, Emma, let's go, mate. Okay, chaps, I'll start off. The dust storm chaos yesterday in Adelaide. Could not believe it. I was walking jetty to jetty and I could see it starting to roll over. I got actually a little bit frightened. I thought I was living on Mars.
Armageddon.
It was that scary.
Couldn't see.
46-kilometre winds smashed into Adelaide CBD yesterday. Two bushfires broke out, but both contained, so well done. But a lot of a lot of people out there struggled with their breathing, asthma, bronchitis. So hopefully they're all under control and got all the medicine that needed. But where was the rain, Burn? You're the rain man around here. We need rain, mate.
Yeah, that's a worry.
And our farmers, we feel for them because they've lost all their bloody seeds, haven't they, Burn?
Well, all their topsoil, isn't great. But it was pretty scary, wasn't it? There were car crashes, there was everything, Jazz. So some rain to settle that dust down.
Very frightening. It was very frightening, but some great photos were taken. So, and it happens about this time of the year every year, doesn't it? It's not uncommon to get a dust storm like that pile into the Adelaide.
Nah, it's not, because the rain hasn't quite hit.
Yep, no strong northerlies.
Strong.
All right, Burn.
So yesterday, SA Health figures show that 150 out of 1,000 strong workforce in our Medi hotels aren't getting vaccinated, Jars. So that's obviously the highest risk area, because that's the only way the virus can come in now, because it's basically not here, is through Medi hotels. So do we need to make this mandatory? Because the Deputy Chief Public Health Officer, Dr. Emily Kirkpatrick, said the rollout's not mandatory and they can still work despite facing the highest risk area, so as she's called it. So there were 7 new cases yesterday in Medi hotels, our biggest single day rise in cases since November 16, which is the state's worst outbreak, which is the Parafield cluster and the highest daily spike in hotel quarantine cases. So, I mean, what happens here? Because
these Medi staff workers should be getting the vaccine. Because if they've got other jobs.
Yeah, I know. Right,
I reckon it's mandatory for them. Absolutely.
I think it has to be, Jars, and you can't force anyone to take anything. So if they don't want to take it, they can work in other hotel, Medi, whatever, but they can't work in Medi hotels.
Yes,
we need
right.
to put a line through this
yeah.
because it's too dangerous, Juz, and things get out of hand really quickly, and that's the only way it can get out is through Medi hotels. So let's put a line through that and stop it in Australia, full stop.
Now, the other concerning issue is the ambulances in the newspaper again today. An 81-year-old woman says she was forced to wait 90 minutes for an ambulance after it was feared she had suffered a heart attack. Now, she went to the Adelaide Oval to watch the game on the weekend, or the Adelaide and Geelong game on March 20, sorry, when she fell ill. A friend immediately called 000, and two St. John First Aid officers quickly attended, which was great. But the ambulance did not arrive for 90 minutes. So they feared that she might have had a heart attack, but the ambulance didn't arrive for 90 minutes.
Siege.
So I'm seeing the ambulances all around our city with the writing all over it. We need help.
They're under siege.
But yeah, so it's a real issue.
A real issue. It's a bloody real concern.
It's scary. Because you know, you feel safe when you know you've got ambulance support in any situation, whether it be you, your kids, anything. You know it's just a phone call away and they're there as soon as they can. But knowing this sort of delay, you don't feel safe, do you? There's no safety net with if an emergency does happen. So, I mean, it's scary and the government needs to be pumping more money.
Well, open your eyes, state government. Do something about it.
This is a big issue, Jars, and it needs to be looked at by our government.
They need more resources, more support, more help, and they get stuff all from our leaders that lead this state.
Stand up.
Oh, they can't do. They just fob it off.
Fob.
They do. They'll just handball it to someone else to try and deal with the issue. Mm. This is a serious issue, and it's got to be fixed. Bloody ramping's out of control. Our health system's a shite.
Can I just also say, Emma, that people also need to take responsibility for what impact they're having. Like, don't go to the hospital unless it's an emergency.
Yes.
A lot of people go to a hospital just, you know, because they're feeling like they've got a cold or something, or they don't want to go to a GP. Like, that's how we can also make a difference,
I think. But the Ambulance Association is under siege, Emma. It's under siege. They can't cope. No, they're bursting. It's about to explode.
Yeah, so I definitely think we need things happening, but we can also take a step to help.
Absolutely.
Well said, Em. Always a pleasure to catch up with a young member of the Adelaide Crows, and he is flying. He is feeding him flying, not only in leg speed, but with ball use, Byrne.
Oh, he's elite.
Oh, Forrest Gump.
When did he ever kick the footy, Jazz?
Well, he just ran and ran and ran, and this is what this young man does. He joins us, Lockie Show. He's now the rising star back-to-back.
Isn't he?
For the AFL, he joins us on the Brekkie Show. G'day, Lockie. Welcome, mate.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me. I'm not sure about the Forrest Gump call, but...
Well, Lockie, you don't stop running, young man. They reckon you'd ran from after the game back to Adelaide.
No, that is completely untrue. I took the plane, that's for sure.
Do you know you're in a club with me at the moment?
Oh,
we had.
Is he?
Are you aware of that for starters?
I'm not, Byrne. What is it?
No.
Well, we had Tex on the Brekkie Show yesterday, and he said his best three kicks that he's ever played with.
This is beautiful.
Well, obviously myself, I was at number one.
No, you were. Oh.
Andrew McLeod was second, and he said you were number three.
Really? Am I in that club?
Yep.
Jeez. I'm surprised Tex has given me a compliment. That's nice of him.
Well, there's a few other things I'll ask you a little bit later that he also went on with, but that is a big rap.
Right.
There's a few things you have to be good at. You have to be good on both sides of your feet. Be able to kick the ball long and short on both feet. Ooh. And you ticked all those boxes, he said.
Done. Well, geez, I better thank you for that, actually.
Yes.
I'm privileged to be in that club, Byrne.
Yeah, well, it's a couple of
And that's what the game requires, elite foot skills if you want to survive, young Lockie. And it's been obviously a really good start to the season for the Adelaide Crows. And, you know, all we can do is win games of footy where everyone wrote this footy club off start of the year. So what's been the mindset from the players from over the pre-season program to getting smashed in those bloody stupid trial games against Port Adelaide and then whack? 4 weeks later, you're sitting, three wins and a loss, sitting in the eight.
Yeah, look, obviously it has. Yeah, it's been an ideal start to the season. Obviously, it'd be nice to be 4-0, but sitting 3-1 at the moment is a solid start. But I suppose it started a while ago when obviously last year wasn't ideal from an on-field point of view, but. We went away and did the work over the off season, and I suppose it's probably been well documented that quite a few stay behind in SA due to COVID and all that stuff that was going on. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, did the majority of the off-season program work together, which was really good. And we were able to get a lot out of it, and as opposed to, you know, training by yourself, you know, when we all split up at the end of the year, we were able to stick together and help each other push through. But, you know, from there, it's sort of just, it's been a matter of continuing that work throughout the preseason. And, you know, we feel like we had done that. And obviously those trial games, you know, against Port, they didn't go as planned, you know, but in terms of results, but it was just a matter of sticking fat with, you know, our game style and what we know and continuing to work. It has came together at the start of the season, I suppose.
Now, Shoal, it's a elite football name.
Oh,
your father, Brett, played for Carlton. Your dad's cousin, Craig, obviously played 235 games for North Melbourne. Brad played 171 for North Melbourne and Geelong.
Mm.
Do you feel like you've got 236 on the radar, so you're the number one in the family?
I think I'm just worried about playing my 13th game, boys. So. I've got a long while to worry about 236, but it'd be nice to get the wood over Dad. I think he played 30 odd. So
that's on the radar.
It'd be nice to catch him, but that's a long way off. I'm not thinking about that anytime soon, that's for sure.
Well, we're chatting with Crows star wingman Lachie Scholl. He's earned his second Rising Star nomination in 2 years. Now, Lock, Bernie and I like to delve off-field about our young talent coming through. Now, you got a lovely partner. Where are you going with all that?
Nah, boys, I'm single.
Oh, that's an advertisement.
Oh, he's single, Boon.
I'm single, so...
Okay, right you are.
Yep. Yeah, you can do with that whatever you want.
No, we'll get that out.
Put it out on the platforms.
Boon's a very powerful man out there.
I'm a connector, they call me. Connector.
You are the connect and an influencer.
Influencer and all that.
Any pets there, Lockie?
No, not at the moment.
Okay.
I will look soon, though. I love my dogs, so...
Good boy. Get a Labrador.
Maybe not a Labrador. I was thinking more Border Collie. I like Border Collies.
So, no pet.
Golden Retriever as well. They're pretty stock-standard.
Nice breed.
Just be careful with a Border Collie. You can't wear them out. So they run. They like you. You are a Border Collie.
You are a...
your pet is your...
I knew we would get there too.
Now, I did a bit of research too, Jarz, and I'm not going to give away my sources, but there are two questions. There's a lot of things being brought up about you, actually, Lockie, but the two questions that stood out for me is there was, why the nickname Gravel Muncher? Where's that come from?
That's came straight from Texas, Gob.
No, it might not have been.
Gravel Muncher. But...
I've never been more certain of where that's came from.
Right.
So, I actually don't know. I think it's you're gonna have to throw that to to Harry Schoenberg, because he started it.
Okay.
It seemed to have grown legs, and Tex and I seemed to like it. So keep calling each other Gravel Muncher. So you might have to ask Harry about that.
Righto.
Trip over and skid your chin on some gravel
that's
or something,
the boy.
Maybe. Hey, and also got told to ask you, did you enjoy your trip to Lucendale with the fog? Because apparently you really enjoyed meeting the locals.
And that's came from Tex as well.
What did you go out there for a few beers one weekend?
Yeah,
did you
what
and get to?
We that was earlier this year, and there was a small group of us. It was myself, Tex. Fogg was planning on coming, but I think he had something come up and wasn't able to make it. But and Jacko Haitley and Kieran Strawn. We went down to Lucendale.
Right.
Just to spend a weekend there, because they'd been affected by some pretty bad bushfires. We were able to get down there and meet some of the locals, and a few of the things that Tex might have said to you, Burn, might have been untrue.
We don't know from Tex, Lockie. Be careful who you.
That one wasn't.
I'm running with it.
All right, Lockie Scholl's running with it.
Mate, he's running again, Jarz. He runs everywhere this bloke. He's running with it.
Thanks for your time. All the best against Fremantle. So well done. Keep playing that consistent footy that you're doing at the moment, Lockie. And it's a pleasure to watch you play, young man.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Burn. Lockie Scholl.
And we're having a club membership function coming up too for those three.
Well, hang on.
Well, you, just because you're not in it, no, you're
hang
filthy.
No, I'm not filthy.
Yeah, you are. You're filthy, Jazz. And we're going to have a catch up.
For the elite. Well, all right. Well, I'll ring Mods and I'll get Mods' top three best kicks he's played with.
Yep. Yeah. I've already asked him that too.
And any.
There was a Jarman in there, but his name was Darren.
That's it. It's a rush hour.
Oh, he put Sean Wellman in front of you.
Good luck to our boy Carl Viet tonight and the Reds. They take on MacArthur down there at Hindmarsh Stadium. Obviously rug up, but let's get around and support our boys on this Wednesday. So they're tracking beautifully. Now, Burn and I have been very, very, very concerned that you disappeared. You left your lovely wife, Catherine,
well, you
and the two
to
boys
be concerned.
To go and play on a golf trip. So how did it go? And explain what was it all about.
Well, I host the golf trip. So I've been doing this for 5 years.
So you get paid for this gig?
Yeah, I do.
Here we go.
I do. So I'm working. So when I signed on, I said to Matty-O, part of my commitment.
Matty-O's our boss.
Yes.
Matty O'Reilly, who really works in this establishment.
At the same time every year, I go away on this golf trip.
Okay.
Can I get a couple of days off?
Who do you go with?
Who do I go with?
Yeah.
There's 100 people that go on the trip. So it's everyone, people who just love golf. We had 100 people. There was some guys from Esperance in WA. There was a group of 20 from Mackay. We got some brutal weather, Jars.
You're calling it brutal,
eh? Brutal. So on Saturday and Sunday in King Island, the temperature got about 12 or 13, and it was hailing, 60 to 70K winds. And the guys from Mackay, Burn, like good country people, they played in shorts.
Oh,
they played in shorts.
Well, that's fair.
So, I said to Matty-O, I said, listen, I'm happy to do the show on the golf trip. So I offered to take the pack and all that sort of stuff. So I wasn't, but thanks for covering me for me, boys. But it was a good trip. So why are you worried about Catherine? What's that got to do with
it? We just left her there with the two boys. You go on a junket.
She knows.
You go on a junket. Now, Burn, where did he stay?
That is a good question because I've actually made contact with someone organising your accommodation in Melbourne.
Oh, Burn.
Because I know a few people over there, Burn. And I'll just say his first name starts with an S. Your first night, so you've got to stay in Melbourne overnight.
Yeah, we roughed it up.
Why didn't you tell us about this then?
Why didn't you tell us about that?
What do you mean?
Well, tell us everything. What did you do on the first night?
What happened with the accommodation?
Yeah.
Well, there was three of us in a room.
Right.
It was a very, very small room. So we're all in three
single
beds.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I got a bed.
Yeah. Buddy Chunkhead, Jazz.
Honestly,
he's walked into a room. There's one single bed and there's two fold-outs, one on the floor.
Yeah. No.
And he's just gone and dumped his bag.
There's two.
He's dumped his bag on the single bed saying, I need a bed because of my back. I've got a stiff back. If I don't sleep in an actual bed, my back, I won't be able to play this weekend. I've got a host. I'm sort of a big deal. And the bloke that organised it, Jazz, is on the floor in a fold-out thing. And he organised it.
It's all about you, isn't it, Princess?
Oh, him and his back. Jeez.
Oh, my back. My back.
Listen here, Burn. Listen here. Now, the only reason why that said individual was on the trip, and he gets a free one because he's playing in my group.
Who's the individual? Give us his name.
Was Scott McLennan. So he paid for – he skimped out too. He's gone for the cheap room.
Did Callum Ferguson go with you?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
He was on the floor as well.
Now, Burn in.
So he's on the floor as well.
You can't put Ferg on the floor.
That is disgraceful. Not Ferg.
Oh, look at that. There's photos of you in bed and they're on the floor. This is
that might have explained Ferg's golf for the trip.
He was no good.
Were you eating crayfish?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you were.
King Island crayfish.
And where did you stay?
Where did we stay?
Yeah, where did you stay over there in Tassie?
Well, at King Island, we stayed at the owner of Vortex. He's got a private residence on the island.
Now you're in a private residence.
So you got choppered in, did you?
True or false?
Chartered flights.
Did you get choppered in?
Chartered flights.
Yeah, chartered flights. So same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And then when we left King Island and then got another flight down to Barmboogle, which is about...
Which is day two and three.
Yes.
Yeah, more crayfish.
And four. More crayfish.
And some salmon.
Where are you getting this intel from?
Did you chomp on some crab?
It's a great. So,
geez, you did it.
And
tough.
some King Island fillet steak as well. It would be beautiful.
Yeah, you know what?
Well, that's why people want to attend.
What do we call
that? It was well hosted. Why wouldn't you want to attend?
Your poor, lovely wife, Catherine, and the boys stuck home.
Is it
day
true?
Day in, day out.
Is it true that the whole? So there's 100 of you, yeah.
Yes.
There we go.
So there's a possibility that someone or a pair had to stay with the Vortex owner in this palais.
Correct.
Over there.
Yeah.
And you've just gone, well, I'll take that. I need to stay in the Vortex owner's.
Listen, Dan, I was following instructions.
And I only eat crayfish when I'm in Tassie, was
and
another thing you said.
10-year-old bottles were red.
Yeah,
10. Yes, good.
And I actually found out what you brought.
Yeah.
What is it? Saint-Honoré, is it?
Yes. 2004. Saint-Honoré.
Yeah.
It's called that.
Saint-Honoré. Honoré. Yeah.
And they couldn't get the cork out of it.
Yeah, yeah. It was just... And it tasted like it had been in a room 30 degrees.
No, it was beautiful. What else did I bring?
For the 10 years. And a basket press, which was terrible.
Honestly,
no, it was beautiful.
This is all about
terrible.
You.
Hey, it's all about the experience, Josh.
What sort of experience did you give the 100?
This is
what
classic
was positive?
Jars, Bern.
This is
classic Jars. He said, I've never been to Tasmania.
No, I haven't.
You just live in your own little bubble down there at Henley.
And if I went to Tasmania, I'd be playing golf with the locals, buying them beers at the front bar.
Sleeping in a swag.
Sleeping in a car if I have to. Yeah, exactly. Burning
you did it. Stansbury in a car.
Not you. Not Donald Trump Blewett.
Get out of your own little bubble.
Boys, I'm concerned about my sleeping patterns during the night. Really concerned where I'm at.
What's happening?
Well,
you stressed?
You know when you're like, how many times do you twist and turn like a crocodile in bed to try and find the comfortable side?
None.
Do you sleep on your back, on your belly, your left side, your right side?
No, not on my belly because it hurts my back. So
you're not a belly man.
No, I'm a side.
Yeah. I'm a side sleeper. Side.
You're a left or right?
I do a bit of both. I've got a really bad left shoulder, so I go over there, just give me right a bit of a rest every now and then, but I'm back on my right. Pillow in between the knees, Jars, that's
not
crucial.
Bad. Do you have your hands under your pillow to bring the pillow in tight to your...
Are you a pillow hugger?
I haven't...
What was that?
I'm a big pillow hugger. Yep.
I've forensically, gone through my sleeping the way I put my hands around my pillow
Well, can you explain why I wake up at 3 a.m. each night?
Because you need a wee.
No, I don't.
No?
No, not
you
at
never,
all.
You have...
Not at all.
You don't never have to go to the toilet.
Not at all.
Right.
No. Okay.
No.
You've got things on your mind, Jars.
I'm conditioned.
Yeah, you're stressed. You've got a lot going
stressed,
on in your life,
but
Jars.
I'm not a stressful person. I need to know why. Can you explain to me why?
You're a creature of habit.
Well, you snore.
No,
you're a snorer.
Well, you've got to ask Maz that.
Does Maz get a bit frisky at about 3 a.m.?
No, not at all.
No.
Maz's hands do start wandering from time to time, trying to find my sleeping patterns, and all of a sudden I feel these hands.
I'll tell you where they're wandering.
Pushing you away.
What do you mean?
Get a broom to push you out.
You're saying she wants to kick me out of bed?
Yes. Yep.
Lads, explain to me. You're not explaining to me why I wake up at...
Wait, why you wake up at 3 a.m.?
And you know we have 4 to 5 90-minute sleep cycles. I did do
What
that.
Do we do?
Right. We have 4 to 5 90-minute sleep cycles.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then we spin. You know, you can do a sleep
like a
study, Jars. We did when we were playing footy. We had we'd quite often do sleep studies, and you wear a watch.
Yeah,
and it's all about movement and how deep you're sleeping, and tells you how quickly you fall asleep. Mm. Yeah, I reckon I broke a record. I reckon it was about 30 seconds one night. I don't know if it goes on movement, so maybe I just didn't move. But, it's actually quite interesting because they do a full study and they realise whether – and a lot of people have breathing problems, Jars, so they wake up, especially if
but
you fall onto your back.
I don't have problems. I don't snore. But you still haven't answered the question. Why am I – and I don't go into bed stress. I try and find a
What do you mean we haven't come
spot.
Up with it? We've given you 4 reasons why you do it, and you've just shut them all down. I reckon you're stressed, Jazz.
I'm not stressed.
Don't go
stressed.
On a golf trip either if you need a decent night's sleep.
I don't go on a golf trip.
No, because it's not good for the sleep.
As we get older, we're getting less sleep, though. Right?
Is it mobile phones before bed?
No, I don't have... They're not near... I don't have a mobile phone near me.
What time do you go to bed?
It varies.
You're late. You're late.
Well, it varies.
Well, okay.
Well, what do you mean I'm late?
Get into some rhythm.
Yeah, routine, Jazz.
So maybe I should go to bed at, say, instead of going to bed at 11,
that's
go to bed
late.
At 10.
No, that's too late.
9:30, 10.
I'm about at 10 o'clock. I actually like waking up early because of the we've got a young family. We're up early anyway. So,
Giles, what you need to do is have a bedtime routine, okay? And you have to do the same thing every night. So before you go to bed, maybe go like have a bath. I know you love your bath.
I love a bath. Thanks,
maybe have a cup of tea.
Thanks, G.
And then switch your mind off. Maybe do some meditation.
And how do I deal with Marion?
Triple M. The Furious Five. It's time for the most groundbreaking quiz to hit the airwaves.
I do not believe it.
Two callers ballot out by answering 5 questions. The one with the most correct wins. It's time for the Furious Five. The Furious Five.
Much sought after segment. This is global and we want to bring it to the Breakfast Clan. G, were you yawning then?
No.
Yes, you did. You yawn.
Did
you don't
I?
Like this segment, do you?
I love the quiz.
Mad as Sean Crowe.
No, I've been on your side since the beginning with this, Jazz. I love the Furious Five.
Brought your questions today, Jazz?
No, I haven't.
He doesn't even do the question.
But our producer, Young Jazz, has done that. So we'd like to thank Jazz. We've got two wonderful callers, Steve from Seaford Rise and Ryan from West Lakes. Good morning, chaps.
Morning, boys.
Morning, guys.
That's the boy. Steve, Crows or Portman?
Essendon.
Well, not bad. That's not bad. Yeah, you're going all right, you boys. And Ryan, Rhino, what are you? You'd be a Crows boy.
Nah, Gold Coast, mate.
Gold Coast. Gold Coast.
I'd never thought I'd hear that.
Yeah, no. Well done, boys. Well done.
Supporter, but then Bernie went there, so it changed up.
Who was that? Was that Ryan or Steve?
Yes.
Right. I'm just putting
talking
a star
to the phone,
next to
right?
Mate.
Hey. All right. 5 questions. Call your name out first if you know the answer. 1 point for the correct answer. There's lifelines available, chaps. Active listening is required to this quiz. Question number 1, Bernie
All
Vince.
All right. You ready, Steve?
Sure am, Ben.
Good. Hope you win. Is it mandatory for Medi Hotel workers to get a COVID-19 vaccine?
No.
Well, hang on.
Steven.
I've just said, call your name out first.
Ben was speaking to me specifically then.
I was making sure you were ready.
Is this Steve or Ryan?
That's Steve.
Steve. Did you give him a point, G?
Yeah, I did, because he got it right.
All right.
Yeah, he deserves one, too. Yeah.
Gregory, number 2.
About the rules, boys.
That's how it works generally, John.
It's a shambles already.
Number what? 2, Greg.
Okay. What did our great city yesterday experience that jars every...
Stephen.
Yes, Stephen.
The dust stuff that blew in. Where the
dust
went
stuff.
On
the dust storm.
That's 2.
Right.
That's good. Can I just finish that question as well? And jars every Saturday morning have in common. So you're normally dusty.
Dusty.
Yeah.
Steve's 2 zip. Are you there, Rhino?
Yeah, I'm here, mate.
Yeah, if you're going to come on and, you know, spray me, you better, you know, just check if your buzzer's working, big fella.
Number 3, Burn.
Crows AFL women captain Chelsea Randall will miss this week's grand final. Why?
Steven.
Yeah. Stephen again.
Stephen.
Yes.
Concussion.
Yeah.
Yes. 3 zip.
Keep going. Number
4.
Hang on. It's out of 5. So, what, do we just keep going?
Keep going, Chief. Yeah. We don't stop.
I want a whitewash.
Just let him go back.
Gregory, number 4. You're going to answer the question.
Yeah, well, someone's talking. Right. So, you know, it's important not to talk over them. That's the first
We've
thing I learned
minutes.
In radio. All right. Rue and Ditz return next week and we'll be giving away $20,000.
Yep.
How do you win it?
Stephen.
Yes, Stephen.
Who cares? I'm not listening when they come back.
Yeah! Four zip.
This is a pile on.
Steven,
hello,
sorry.
Ryan.
No.
Hello,
Gee,
Ryan.
I'm the boss of this show. That's
no,
a win.
That is correct.
Number 5, grab Burn.
Anything to say, Ryan? Make
right.
a comment.
4 zip, Ryan.
Hello? The correct answer.
I will tell you the correct answer, Ryan.
What is it?
Yep. So you need to remember the password. 8 letters, 2 digits, 1 symbol
right.
wins you $20,000.
Okay.
Yep. Rhino, just practice your buzzer. Go.
Ryan.
It's working. Right.
Number
okay,
4, 5, Burn.
Question 5. Greg Blewett has been missing the last 2 shows.
Steven.
So
Hang on. I've got a few options. Where was he? A, on strike.
Yeah.
He pulled a soda. Yeah. B, away on business, establishing a franchise of tanning salons and teeth whitening across the country. And leg shaving.
And hair plugging,
hair dyeing.
Is this a quiz? Or
C, enduring 70-kilometre winds and hailstorms in Tassie on a trip to connect with nature, find his inner self, and basically just disconnect with his own family, disown him.
Stephen,
for 5 zip.
D, none of the above. He's been swanning around that young golf club with a head wobble.
Oh, yes. I'll accept that.
You chunky.
That is 5 zips. Righto, if you're going to come on and spray me, mate, you got to get off the mark, son.
You can't take Bernie on, Rhino.
No.
Stephen, you're going to see the Crows v Fremantle this Sunday, 12:40 p.m. Just double pass
Ryan.
For you,
just
mate.
Just no comment from Ryan.
See you, Rhino.
He's just tail between the legs sort of stuff.
That's what happens when you go for the Gold Coast.
I was away on the golf trip, so I left Friday after the show. I spoke to my family Friday night, checked in every night, as you do. But Catherine said to me, she goes, oh, you never guess what happened today. I was driving along Walkerville Terrace there, and there's like a few coffee shops and stuff like that. And as I was driving along, it can get quite busy along there. And as I was driving along, a car pulled out in front of me. So I had to veer to the right to miss that person. And almost veered straight into the oncoming car.
Oh, dear.
And the oncoming car sort of, you know, braked and then straight away started abusing Catherine.
Oh, dear.
And then they eyeball to eyeball, and it was at one of our neighbours.
Oh, no.
And we've got brilliant neighbours.
Yes.
But Catherine said as soon as she realised it was Catherine, it was like, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. So it was a bit... It was very, very embarrassing.
How aggressive
for both
was the tirade from the neighbour?
Well,
to Catherine?
I think it was like finger pointing,
arms waving.
I think there was some verbal stuff.
Demonstrative.
So, Catherine was taken aback a little bit, but I think it was a bit embarrassing for both parties. Catherine. Catherine
Whose
was
fault?
Very defensive.
Whose fault, though?
Well, definitely Catherine's fault.
Catherine,
I
guarantee Hang you, mate, on. She's the world's worst driver.
Oh, you can't say that about.
I can't say that about your partner because
they blow up. I've had this conversation with Abby a number of times, and she just thinks she's the world's best driver still. After parking on a curb, scratching all my rims, she hit a tow bar the other day, cracked my front bumper. She still rates herself as the best driver in not just Adelaide, the world. I said, well, hang on, the facts are there.
I'm feeling you, mate. I'm feeling it because that's exactly what happens with Catherine. But that was her version of events.
Have you spoken to the neighbour?
No.
Have you dropped off a bottle of wine?
I don't. No, I'm not going there.
No, you need to.
You've got to.
Once they realise.
You can't lose that relationship with your neighbour.
No, it's fine. It was just
one of
those
real... Is it your direct neighbour next to your house?
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
and
wow.
I'm not going to say which side.
Come on.
There's no names. So
that's a $7 million complex.
Catherine said it was very, very, it was just one of those moments where they looked at each other and they were just about to go.
Did she have the boys in the car?
And they realised who it was. Yeah, the boys were in the car.
Oh,
but that's right.
So, okay. So
they're safe and no one got hurt from both parties.
But I'd love to hear...
Are you going on the phones, are you?
Yeah. I'd love to hear from... has there been times where, you know, the neighbour might have started flying off at you for the wrong reason?
Music's up loud.
Yep.
Lawnmower too early. I hate that one.
Bins in front of...
Yes, I've
had
that one.
Like that, Burn?
Yeah, I got a letter put on my car, and that was Burns' beef at one stage, because I parked where you're allowed to park, because I pay my rates, I pay my rego, I can park... where it says you can park. But apparently, one of my neighbours' bins owns that territory.
Yeah.
And I'm not allowed to park in front of there. But that gutless, they couldn't speak to me. They had to leave a letter for me.
Did you ever track that down?
They're no longer with us.
Oh.
No, the bins, I mean.
Neighbour run-ins, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Good morning, Bianca, welcome.
Good morning, team. How's it going?
We're coping very well, Nat Greg Blewett's back. Now, have you got an incident that you can talk about?
Yes. We moved into a little rental while we were building our new house.
Yep.
And the other neighbours had warned me about this crazy lady who was about to move in right next door to us.
Yep.
And at first, she seemed really lovely, took a liking to my kids, super, super nice. And then she started putting rubbish in our bins. And it happened once, it happened twice, and the third time I got really sick of it. So I just took it out and put it nicely just next to her bins because I thought, nah, I'm sick of this. and I got home from work and she had smashed a lamp on our driveway.
Oh, wow. Nasty neighbours.
That's low.
Yeah, so my husband made quite the scene about having to go out there with the blower vac to clean it all up. So I think she definitely knew that she had done wrong and not to cross us again. But yes, young kids and glass on the driveway don't mix.
No, that's low.
No, that's nasty.
Thanks for sharing that, Bianca.
Have a good day. We're going to give Bianca a $100 voucher to the district at Sky City. Awesome venue. Had good times there last weekend.
You do there.
Yeah, I do like. Well, anywhere with espresso martinis on tap. I mean, can't go wrong. Adelaide's ultimate entertainment destination. Oh, yeah, no. You're right. That's where I'm going
wrong.
You've
got to get off us.
There you go, G. Here's your answer.
You're turning in Elvis Presley. He didn't sleep during the night.
Look who's talking.
Roy from Redwood Park. Good morning, Roy.
Yeah, good day, guys. How are you?
Good, brother. What have you got for us?
I had a neighbour before I moved out of half an acre block, and she reported me 5 times to the council. Mm. One, because my dog was barking at her dog and her dog was barking back.
The other
one, I've got a sulphur crest.
Yeah.
And she reported me to the council again because the bird was squawking.
Mm.
But the last straw, she actually brought the two guys from the council around at Tea Tree Gully. Because I had a little wind chime about 40 metres from a house and it was keeping her up at night.
Get out.
Oh, God.
And the council made me tie it up at night.
Oh.
Your wind chime.
I would have moved it closer.
Are you joking? The council says, no, you've got to tie it up.
Otherwise, you'll get a fine.
God.
Nice neighbour you got, Roy. Nice neighbour.
Mm. Move, mate. I moved.
Yeah, he moved. That's a big call. Yeah. He likes his wind chimes, Roy.
Well, it's good on him because it brings good karma.
He does. Yeah, his neighbour needs to get a bit more zen, I think.
Well done, G. Nelly. Nell from McGill. Good morning, Nell.
Good morning.
Now, you're going to complain about a cat?
No, it's my cat that was complained about.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
How noisy is your cat?
So the complaint was that she was jumping our wall and walking on the fence, looking into everybody's yards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mind the complaining about my cat. It's fine, you know, come knock on my door, come speak to me. But it's the way it was done that was distasteful. So we found this note in our letterbox, in our postbox, and it was not just handwritten, it was on a printed stationery pad. So, you know, those that's got a printed heading.
Yep.
And it said, hey, and then enter swear word, face.
Oh.
Hey, face.
No.
And then the note was written about our cat and how it was unacceptable. But the thing is, my 7-year-old daughter found the note.
Oh.
That's disgraceful.
I was quite upset about it, and I wasn't going to take it. So I was walking from house to house, knocking on every door with this note in hand
well
and
done.
My child in the other hand saying, did you leave this note for my daughter to find?
Anyone put their hand up?
Yeah, I couldn't find who it was. Nobody would own up to it.
Okay.
Mm. Is that a South African accent?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
great
it is.
Accent.
Brilliant.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Nell. Have a lovely day.
Thank you. You too.
Let's go to Point Turton. G'day, Ricky boy.
Oh, York Peninsula, Jazz.
How you going, fellas?
Good, mate.
Yeah, good.
What's your story,
buddy? Yeah, a few years ago, I've still got a property in Tenor Creek, a little farm, and I was working on an old paddock basher we had, and my daughter looked up and said that Gary's walking along the fence line with a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so I went over to this guy and said to him, what are you doing? And he reckoned he was going to shoot our 2 shih tzus because he had kangaroos that were in a compound.
Oh.
So I jumped through the fence started walking along. And basically, he just said, get off my property, otherwise we could have an accident.
That's terrible.
I know it's told him he can go F himself.
Yeah.
I couldn't find a dog, so then I went across the other side at a property, and I yelled out to my daughter and said, get the coppers because I don't know the law. We hadn't been there that long.
Yeah.
And anyway, I couldn't find a dog, so I just went back to her and I said, the problem with you people with rifles, you've got little penises, but in different words. and then just waited for the coppers to come.
Yeah.
But this went on for 2 years. Like he shot a horse for was very similar to our daughter's.
Oh, no.
And he shot across the property with a 303 and killed it. And yeah, it's just a piece of work. But yeah, in the end, fellas, it came to fruition because my wife was working as a ward clerk in the hospital.
Yeah.
And he took crook, and he wouldn't deal with Isabel. So when ward clerks ask him for your details, if they don't give them for you, they can't stay in the hospital. So he signed himself out, and he died that night. So karma.
That's karma, but that's...
Thanks, Ricky. Good on you, mate.
Michelle, that had a lot of layers to it, that story.
Michelle from Windvale. G'day, Michelle.
Good morning. How are you going?
Good. Do neighbour?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So what happens... sick and tired of the dogs, the neighbour's dog, crapping on my lawn
all the time.
It was driving me nuts. So it was one day I wasn't in a really good mood, and I'm watching out the window, and he's out the front, and he's crapping on my lawn. So I thought, that's it. So I went out the back, and I've got a shovel. I got a plastic bag from inside. I put the crap inside the plastic bag.
Yep.
I called him over. I tied it around his neck and sent him home.
Oh. Don't mess with Michelle.
And he's never been back since.
Well, nice.
That's a good boy.
Good tactic. Good tactic, Byrne. Last call, Dylan from Penfold. Good morning.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Talk to us.
So I was driving home from the pub. I'd actually had one too many drinks, and I was pulling in my driveway, and police sirens behind me. Yeah, blew the breath. I had too many. He took my license. Next day, turned out he was actually down my street because he was moving in.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Had quite an awkward few months after that.
You would have helped him lift his couch in that inn?
since I've helped him with a few things, yeah.
Thanks for that, Dills. Good stuff. Some good stories.
Yeah.
You've got to try and get on with your neighbours, don't you?
No, you do.
You do.
The biggest surprise is Bluey has neighbours on that private island. I thought it was just his.
From the playing field to the locker room, Triple M's Rush Hour is the trusted source for everything footy.
Another goal to Port Adelaide.
Get your expert tips here to be the ducks of your tipping comp with Bernie, Bluey and Charles.
And the Crows win here at the Adelaide Oval.
Love footy? You'll love Seeker's Footy Tipping with weekly prizes up for grabs so you can join anytime. Sign up now at seekerfootytipping.com.au. Seeker, your go-to product on the worksite.
Yeah, there you go. So have you got score updates? How are we going?
I have got a score update from last weekend. Right. Bluey, you got 6.
Yep. Well done.
I got 7. Yep. And Jars, 4. I'm not sure what you were thinking, but you got 4 last week. So me and Bluey are leading at the moment, and you've just dropped off the cliff.
No, I haven't dropped off.
I'll
bounce back. Right, let's go.
Yep, let's go. Tomorrow night, St Kilda, Richmond. That's at Marvel.
That is a good game, but I think Richmond.
Richmond for me.
Saints for me.
Right.
Optus Friday night, West Coast, Collingwood.
Got to go West Coast
Eagles
there.
Eagles for me, yeah. Collingwood are in world of pain.
West Coast for me. Then on Saturday, Bulldogs taking on the Gold Coast at Marvel.
Bulldogs on fire.
Yeah, Bulldogs on fire.
Yep, Bulldogs for me. On fire. At the SCG, the Swans taking on the Giants.
Battle of the Bridge.
Yeah, the Derby.
I think the Swans are going too well.
I'm going Giants.
Okay.
Yep, going Giants because Toby Green should be the new club captain as of this week.
He was captain on the weekend.
But officially the club captain
of this
week. Are you
going, Byrne?
I'm going the Swans.
He said Sydney.
I'm going Swans.
Right, keep going.
MCG Carlton Port.
Oh, Port.
Port for me.
Port.
Port
for me. At the Gabba, Lions taking on the Bombers.
Lions. Brisbane.
Lions for me. And then on Sunday, Crows taking on Frio.
Crows.
Adelaide to continue there. Yeah, good form.
Tex to kick 5.
Yeah, I'll go Crows. MCG, Hawks, Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Melbourne for
Melbourne.
Me.
Melbourne.
And then the last one, Geelong taking on North Melbourne. Geelong at home.
Cats.
Geelong.
There you go.
North Melbourne are paying $12.50.
Yes, I do.
Round five tips. Shorter than that.
Love your footy. You'll love Seeker's Footy Tipping with weekly prizes up for grabs. So you can join in anytime. Sign up now at seekerfootytipping.com. Seeker, your go-to product on the worksite.
Right, Ben, what do you got for us for this Wednesday?
Normally, you've got a bit of Benny Hill going in the background.
Yeah,
it's a bit silent.
We just waiting on G to play Benny Hill in the background.
Oh, how was I to know?
Oh, no.
You don't tell me anything. This show's so loose.
Oh, well,
that's my favourite part when I slap Jars on his bald head.
That is a great
fact. G will try and find it. Go, Byrne.
Well, it's surprising we're still doing this, seeing Bluey's back, because he's been trying to bring this down the whole year.
Oh.
But he won't get me. Hey, This was brought to my attention by Hato, this fact. Now, you know, boys, if you find, I don't hope you don't find yourself in this situation, but if you find yourself buried under anything, say an avalanche, or any material really for that matter, do you know how you find the way out? What would you do?
I think it's something to do with your saliva.
What? A bad guess.
Don't you like dig a hole and then you breathe through the
I think your
air?
Saliva. I think it's something to do with the saliva, where to dig.
Bluey's sort of looks like Gregory? He's concentrating, but I don't know if he's just not listening.
So wouldn't you get a sense of what feels the heaviest around you? So if it's...
Oh, my God.
If it's,
no? Oh, my God, no. That's stupid. Chunky. So you know what you do? Say you're in an avalanche. Yeah. I'll save you some misery there.
Go burn.
So you are onto it, Jazz. You get some ice, put it in your mouth, melt it, and spit it out. And whatever way that falls, you go the opposite way to get out, to dig out.
What?
The saliva.
You got me?
Yeah.
So the saliva falls directly down. So if that comes on a 45 degree angle back towards your body, you've got to dig 45 degrees up the other way.
Yeah.
That's how you get out. Jazz, you were right.
Thank you, Bern.
That is
how did you get that?
Such a useful fact. I'll keep that in mind next time I'm
just be careful.
What if it's an avalanche with mud or dirt?
I didn't say that. So
you
didn't
say avalanche. Avalanche.
Yeah, but you did. Yeah. Actually, you did, Bern.
No, I said it nice, yeah. So, right. No. Well, you just use your saliva, like Jazz said. You idiot.
All right, let's go. We've got to wrap it up.
Hey, do you know Alaska, right? We're all familiar with that state in the US.
Yes, Bern.
Alaska is the only state you can spell on one row of the keyboard. So if you've got a keyboard in front of you, have a look.
Okay.
A-L-A-S-K-A. Yes. All in the same row. The only US state to do that, boys.
That's a cool fact, Ben.
There you go.
There you go.
See? I cater for everyone here. People getting buried, people typing on computers, everything.
Family.
Bernie, Bluey and Jazz on Triple M.